Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Isaac, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, "To you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance." The words of Psalm 105, verses 5 through 11. Psalm 105 is interesting because it clearly pulls from somewhere else and then adds to it and expands it. That is to say, it's quite a long psalm, 45 verses, and the first 15 verses are taken directly from another psalm that David wrote somewhere else. And whether this latter psalm was written later in the history of Israel, as there are some scholars who suppose that, because of course the psalms were written at various times, including up to the date of Hezekiah and beyond, it may be that originally David wrote the first 15 verses it was added onto. It may be that that other psalm just never made it into the Psalter. We can't know that, but what we can know is that these first 15 verses come from the song that David sang and wrote and even danced to when he brought the Ark of the Covenant at last into Jerusalem, into the city of David. You might remember that when the people of Israel first entered the land of Canaan, the Ark of the Covenant ends up at a place called Shiloh, and there it stays for a long time, and you have all these other stories that take place with Samuel there, right? And the Philistines taking away the Ark and it coming back and all that great stuff. But even after Saul becomes king, it stays there, and then after David becomes king, it also stays there, and then finally David decides to bring the Ark to the capital, which is really kind of where it should be, because it's a theocracy. Even though they have a king, God is still technically in charge of the nation, and he starts to do so, and then there's this whole bit about Uzziah, the guy who puts out his hand to stop the ark from falling, and he ends up being struck dead because they weren't paying attention to the law that said don't touch the ark, right? And so David sets it aside at the house of a man named Obed and leaves it there instead. He doesn't want to bring it near his own house because he's afraid of it. Well, then he hears that God is blessing Obed, and like his household is just overrunning with wealth and prosperity, and so David's like, well, I guess I should bring this into the city of the capital, shouldn't I? And he goes down, and they bring it back. 1 Chronicles 15 tells us, David and the elders of Israel and the commanders of thousands went to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the house of Obed-Edom with rejoicing. And because God helped the Levites who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they sacrificed 7 bulls and 7 rams. David was clothed with a robe of fine linen, as also were all the Levites who were carrying the Ark, and the singers and Chenaiah, the leader of the music of the singers. And David wore a linen ephod. So all Israel brought up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord with shouting to the sound of the horn, trumpets, and cymbals, and made loud music on harps and lyres. And 2 Samuel 6 tells us not only that David danced before the Lord with all his might, but also that not only were the Levites making these sacrifices the one time, but that when those who had bore the Ark of the Lord had gone 6 steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. That is all the way from the house of Obed-Edom all the way up to the city itself. There's a dead ox every 6 paces, plus another fattened animal, all as sacrifice, all as offerings of thanksgiving, all as rejoicing that this presence of God, and we can't misunderstand or diminish the power of the Ark of the Covenant as being the place where God has put his name, where he says, this is where my power for salvation for the entire world is going to be. Wherever this box is, wherever this covenant is, that's where I am. And he'd proven it again and again and again. And now this was coming into the city of David to make his kingdom an everlasting kingdom. Now, you know that historically this doesn't exactly work out the way everybody expected. It's not that David himself is going to reign forever, but that the heir to David's throne inherits this everlasting kingdom, inherits the Ark of the Covenant, the box in which God sits, and actually replaces the box itself, being a tabernacle unto himself. Jesus our Lord, who is God incarnate, God in the box of human flesh. God is a man, the man who has God's name on him. And we'll go one better and just point out that you too now that you're God, but you have God's name on you, baptized into him, made one with him. So even as David shouts all these wonderful words about God's presence being there to save him, give thanks to the Lord, publish his name, make known what he does among the people, sing with all that you have, glory in his name. Remember his wondrous work that he has done, his rare deeds and the decisions of his mouth, even as David sang all of that about the Exodus, about the establishment of Israel, and about the presence of God in that box. So now you get the fulfillment to sing the same words about the wondrous deed of the death and resurrection of Jesus, about his exodus out of the grave on your behalf, and about his placing his name on you with water and a word to bury and raise you with the power of that same death and resurrection. He remembers his covenant forever, his promise to you, even to 1,000 generations. The same promise he made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, confirmed as a statute forever, only now, big difference, made more clear. No longer a shadow, but the fullness of the fact, brought about in the fullness of time, by the hands and feet and means and body of the King, the box, the one man, Jesus Christ, your Lord.